Welcome to Conrad's Corner. From time to time, I interview local poets, and with me today is Rita Coleman. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Conrad.
I'm glad to have you here. I remember in reading your chapbook, what's it called?
It's called Mystic Connections, Poems of Nature and Relationships.
Yes, you have that chapbook called Mystic Relations, and one of the early ones was a poem about poetry.
That would be The Nature of Poets. Poets sigh when frost giants troop over fields, eulogies of death in their feet. They whisper as virgin snow cloaks the bare bones of earth, diamonds aglint and pale sun. Poets warble when the spring flute coaxes promise from trees and roar when sky gods hurl thunderlights, tormenting poor mortals. While poets weave white nets of hammocks stretched between shagbark and locust, and probe the innards of rainbow trout gutted for pan fry at lakeside. They know the first breath is the banshee of arrival and the last breath the laughter of going home.
Now, is that autobiographical? Is that about you?
I think it could be. It happened to occur over a period of time, and as the title of the book is Mystic Connections, I was thinking about the mysticism of poets, and perhaps they do have a little inside knowledge there.
Okay. Tell me more about the mystical part of this.
My understanding of mysticism is a direct connection with all that is, call it whatever you will, in the spiritual dimension. And as poets do choose their words very, very carefully, I believe that what is written is very mystical. They seem to be in tune, and I am in tune with nature and weather and temperature and wildlife and even beyond all that with a connection with other people. All things, sort of we are all one.
And this poem talks about the banshee of arrival and the last breath, the laughter of going home. What are the arrival and the going home?
When I wrote that, I was thinking about how coming into this life is a cry of leaving the other realm, perhaps, and the lessons that are learned, and they're not all easy. Some are difficult, and the laughter at the end would be the return to the other realm.
And the other realm is?
An ether, maybe one of spirit, if it's reincarnation or not. It's pretty open to interpretation.
Okay, and a lot of that is in nature for you.
Absolutely.
Yes, and I remember another one about a mountain that I think had some spiritual overtones.
That would be Mount Greylock, Massachusetts. My husband and I were hiking parts of the Appalachian Trail. We were in Mount Greylock, Massachusetts, and this is what I refer to the mountain as a she, said to me. This was her invitation.
The title of the poem?
Invitation from Mount Greylock, Massachusetts. Mounded in sloping rock, upthrust in eons past, Mount Greylock invites you to step inside the wind and touch the face of an ancient, look past the eyes into the double helix and plunge into the eye of nature. Drink with an open throat, slaking ever-present thirst, reminded that this same water flooded the land and rained upon the reptile hides of small-brained dinosaurs before fire hailed from the sky. Walk in meditation upon this finely ordered earth where all the answers you will ever need are shielded in smooth leaves and pungent fruit, a rich home of soil for trails and trees and dreams to feed your wandering. Come, says the Grand Dame, slip into memory, a sudden glance, a whispered hint, and find yourself in a timeless loop of no beginning and no end in the midst of invisible presence.
Thank you. And I do get some overtones, no beginnings, no ends, drink. And then you had one about horses, I think, that also has some spiritual overtones.
Yes, it began with horses here called Slender Threads. And it begins with, she trudges on winter-wet ground where horses have stamped intaglios of semicircles in the turf, sharing the land. She hunches against a weasel wind while an unseen hunter blasts a 12-gauge in a copse, its report an echo, sharing space. She watches her old beagle trot ahead on earth scented beyond her knowing, while a red-tailed hawk soars over corn stubble sharing the sky. She feels a tug in her heart space, a familiar searching, a glimpse of the slender threads that reach beyond this winter walk. Gossamer leitmotifs reveal themselves when the sun is just right, connecting her to all that is, all that was, all that will be, whether she knows it or not, and cannot be broken, no matter what.
And is the she here Rita Coleman?
In this poem, she does happen to be Rita Coleman, yes.
Okay. This one that I remember and I think we'll have time for is called Witness, and it's about death and what happens after that. Would you do that one yet? It's about dogs, isn't it, or about a dog?
It certainly is, and it's called Witness. Old dogs don't leave much when they pass over. An old bone, a rope toy, empty bowls, a quiet heap of bones and flesh under a silky tricolor coat. Moments before, panting, quaking, hiding under a plastic chair, then lifted to the exam table, spread with a fuzzy flowered blanket, trusting me as I wrapped my arms around him, cooing, "It's all right," slipping into stillness as the overdose took hold, slumping against my chest, muzzle grazing my cheek, goodbye said, his body warm, his eyes half-lidded, his bark silenced, his tail still. My hot tears shower his broken body, and I am led away, suspended between life and death, my feet unable to touch the ground, certain my heart has been left behind.
Thank you. That is a very moving poem, and I guess you have some belief in doggy heaven.
Sometimes I do. When I think about it or I dream about other dogs I've had, I do, yes.
And there's certainly a deep feeling in the animal kingdom that pervades that as well as all of the natural world that's a part of you and your beliefs.
Absolutely.
Well, I thank you very much, Rita Coleman, for these poems that you have shared.